you got so many different messages that you prepare and you study and you look at and you go, man. Then you get up here and then you try to figure it out. Okay, God, what do you want me to do? And what's needed? I want to preach what's needed. That's what I want to preach. I just don't want to preach and just preach something, but I want to preach what's needed. And that's what you're seeking God for. You know, there's all kinds of needs in this building, all kinds of needs. And people needing this and needing that from the Lord. And how many of y'all need something from God this morning? Say amen. You need something from God. So I'm trying and praying the Lord show me what to do. How many of y'all want to be success? How many of y'all want to be a success in 2020? In the year of our Lord, 2020, you want to be a success. Raise your hand. Amen. For the Lord. Amen. That's what I want to be. I want to be a success for the Lord. And I'm not talking about money. I'm not talking about just those things. God can add those things onto us. But I want to be a success walking with God. And I want the Lord to be able to come fellowship with me. And I want to know that he's around. Amen. I want to have the confidence knowing God's with me. Now, take your Bible, look in Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. And you'll find one time in your Bible success is mentioned. One time, and success is mentioned in the Bible. And I mean, we judge success by money, fame, power. You know, people judge it in the world by that. And but in the God judges success in a different way. And that's God judges success with how much you fellowship with him, how much you walk with him. Job, even though Job went through all that he went through, he was a success. Job was a success. And that guy, he loved God. And he went through, I've been stuck in the book of Job. Been reading that thing, going through it and reading it. And there's so much in the book of Job. But I think, man, I don't want to be like Job, that's for sure. I don't want to go through what Job went through. And I know people go through problems and trials and struggles and everything else. But you want to make it in this life as a Christian. You want to make it and be successful as a Christian. And the Bible tells you how to do it. Now, take your Bible, look in Joshua chapter 1. And it says, now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying. And what you find, first of all, you find Joshua was ministering to the man of God. He was trying to be a blessing to the man of God. And Joshua was right there. I mean, every time you read in your Bible, you find Joshua's there next to Moses. He's there fellowship with God. He runs into Moses down in Egypt because God told Moses to go back to Egypt. And he said, go let my people get, tell the Pharaoh, let my people go. And Moses goes back down to Egypt and he runs into Joshua. And Joshua's there and Joshua ends up staying right next to Moses and fellowship with Moses. And he ministers to Moses. So what do you mean minister to him? Did he preach to him? No, he just did whatever Moses needed to get done. He just helped Moses out. And you find Joshua's up on the mountain with Moses, and God, he's the only guy that God allowed up on the mountain with Moses. He goes halfway up, and he's right beside Moses the whole time, Joshua is. And he's fellowshiping with Moses. And he doesn't have no idea. He has no idea that God's going to put him in command when Moses is gone. He has no idea. He wasn't even looking for that. He wasn't even looking for trying to be somebody. He wasn't trying to do that. He was just trying to be obedient to God. You know what I find? I find if a person's just trying to be obedient to God, God will use them. And God will put them in places that they never thought that he would ever do. I mean, if you're just trying to be obedient to God, what happens is people get ambitions and they want to, I mean, there's nothing wrong with ambition, as long as your ambition doesn't take you away from God. And what happens is people have ambitions and they want to be this or they want to be that. They want to be, known, popular, known. I was just telling, we went out to California and preached for this guy, Gene Kemp, and I just noticed on Facebook, this guy's got 400 some thousand people that follow him. On the internet. 400 some thousand. You say, are you jealous of that? No, I'm not jealous of that. Guys, he's known around the world. 400,000 people know who he is. And they're following him on Facebook or whatever, internet, whatever that thing is. And they're following him. And but he didn't start out to try to be that. He just wanted to try to be a blessing, put stuff, videos online and trying to help people learn the Bible. And then, you know what I found? I talked to a preacher yesterday and he's out in California. He was there with us at the meeting. He's in Rough and Ready, California. How many of you ever heard of Rough and Ready, California? Only time I've ever heard of Rough and Ready, California was on the John Wayne movie. And he was from Rough and Ready, California. And this guy named Hilton Smith, he'd been in Rough and Ready, California for 30 some years. And he told me this, I was talking to him yesterday. He said he had a family come in his church. He said they came by, and he said the lady came forward, got saved, and somebody else, I think one of her children came forward, got saved, and and she asked him, said, "Do you know a guy named Gene Kemp?" And she said, "I've been watching him on watching all his videos online." And he goes, "No," I was just there preaching for him. And Gene Kemp's got all these people encourages them to go to Bible-believing churches. Bob Joseph told me, had 15 people that was watching Gene Kemp came to his church. Samson had Jehovah's Witnesses that got watching him and came to his church and got saved. And man, there's all over the country, God's using the guy. He wasn't trying to go out and trying to be somebody, trying to get a name. He's just trying to be used of God. He's a Korean guy. And they bow to you. The Koreans, whenever I walked over to them to shake their hand, they all bowed to you. And they're all thanking me and all that for just being there. And they're just very humble people. And God, and I believe Joshua was a humble man. I believe Joshua was just trying to serve God. That's all he wanted to do. He wanted to see the children of Israel delivered. And he just wanted to be a part of whatever God was in. A fellow said one time, he said, "You find out what God's doing and then get in on it." Amen. Just find out what God's doing and where he's doing it at and get in on it. And that's what we want to do. At Faith Baptist Church, what we're trying to do is find out what God's doing, and we want to get in on it. And God's showed up. I mean, God's been good to this church. He showed up around here many times. I mean, he showed up time after time after time. We've seen people saved, and boy, that's a blessing. And we've seen people called to preach as a blessing. I bet there's time we have high times, and we have low times. And we have high times during revivals, then we have low times at the different times. You know, starting out the year like we are today, starting out the year kind of a low time, and people are wondering what's going to happen in 2020. Are we going to fight Iran? Are we going to go to war? Is this going to happen? That going to happen? You got all kinds of stuff, man. You're watching the news, you're seeing all that stuff, wondering what's going to happen to my job, and all that. You start worrying about that stuff, and what you got to do is just trust God. Amen. Trust him. The Bible says, "Trust the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to your own understanding. All thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path." In verse 2, it says, "Moses, my servant, is dead." Now, God's looking for a man to take his place, and God already knew who was going to take his place. And he tells Joshua, he said, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, in the land which I'll give to them, even the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that I have given unto you, as I said unto Moses." I mean, can you imagine that, man? Everywhere you walk, God says, it's going to be yours. That's yours. That's yours. That's yours. I mean, you walk over here, that's yours. And if you read your Bible, you'll find the children of Israel, they haven't got all the land yet. The Palestinians trying to take the land back, they haven't got all the land. They go all the way up into Syria, all the way over into Jordan. They go all the way down into they go down to Egypt. So they haven't got all the land back yet. They haven't. One day when the Lord comes back, he's going to get it all. They'll get every bit of it that Abraham tread his foot on, and Joshua, and so on. And the Bible says, "Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread, I have given unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness on this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, all the great sea towards the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee." Boy, you got a direct promise. He had a direct promise from God. God says, you're not going to fail. You trust me, you won't fail. You know, you find that in the Bible, New Testament. You find that God says you'll never fail if you do this. Take your Bible, look in a holy place there in Joshua. Go over to the book of Jude. Go over to the book of Jude, right before Revelation. Go over there and look what the Bible says about it. It says this in the book of Jude. He says, and look at Jude, look at verse 16. We'll start there. Talking about people that go against God. It says, "These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts, and their mouths speak great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of vantage. But, beloved, remember ye the words which I have spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lust." And we got that right now. You talking about more lust out there than ever before, man. There's more stuff on the internet. There's more stuff out there just try to throw a wrench in your life to mess your life up. "These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. But ye, beloved, building up yourself in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourself in the love of God, looking for the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And some having compassion, making a difference. Others saved with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments which spoil or spotted by the flesh. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, see that thing? Unto him that is able to keep you from falling, present you faultless before the presence of his glory. With exceeding joy. The only wise God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, dominion, power, but now, both now and ever. Amen. He says, keep yourself in the love of God. And it says, pray, building yourself up in your most holy faith. And you've got to build yourself up in your most holy faith. I had some Jehovah's Witnesses come out. I was working the other day at the house, the other house, and I'm working over there trying to fix things, and these Jehovah's Witnesses pulled up. I knew right off when they pulled up, they were Jehovah's Witnesses. So I went out, and I, you never let them in your house, and I went outside, and I started talking to two ladies got out, and I started talking to them. I said, I'm a Baptist preacher. She said, well, I used to be a Baptist. And I said, they always say that. You know what? The black Baptist churches, they don't preach the Bible like it should. And she was a Baptist. She went to a black Baptist church, and they preach a bunch of social gospel. That's what they're preaching. And they don't preach the Bible like we believe. They don't preach that King James Bible like it should be preached. And she said, well, I used to be a Baptist. I said, well, you didn't learn anything. I said, you know anything about the tribulation? And she said, oh, yeah, I know something. I said, tell me about it. She couldn't tell me a word. She couldn't tell me nothing. And man, I mean, what happens is she didn't know nothing, so she went to these people, Jehovah's Witnesses, and they sat around, they had a Bible study, and they got nice people, and she fell into it. And I started giving the Bible, and the lady, she didn't want the other lady to hear what I was telling her, and she said, well, we got to go, and she backed away and wanted to get away from me. And you know what, when you know your Bible, there's something about it. And God will keep you from falling when you study your Bible and you pray and seek God's face. You know, I mean, you can stand against anybody, any call, any religion. You can stand against it. And look, take your Bible, look back in Joshua chapter 1. Look back there. And Joshua here, Joshua was chosen by God to take over the people. Moses knew who was going to take it over. And God says, wherever you go, he says, I'm going to be with you. I'll never leave you. You'll not fail. You're not going to fail. I mean, wouldn't that be a blessing? The Lord told you this morning. He said, and you already got a promise in the Word of God. He said, I tell you what, in our year of our Lord 2020, you will not fail if you'll do these things. You'll not fail. And you won't fail by serving the Lord. You won't fail in this Christian walk. You won't fail in your fellowship with me. Man, wouldn't that be a blessing? I mean, we go through failures. We go through troubles and trials. But wouldn't that be a blessing when the Bible says you won't have to fall? You won't go back. I mean, there's some little scrimmages you might lose. But the overall battle, you're going to win. You're going to win if you keep close to God. It says, be strong. Look what he says in verse 6. Be strong and of a good courage. For unto this people shall thou divide for an inheritance the land which I sweared unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong, very courageous. God likes people that's got courage. He likes people that's got some courage about him, and they won't back up, and they stand for God. He says, be courageous, be strong, be of good courage. For unto this people shall thou divide an inheritance of the land. It was up to Joshua to lead them in to the promised land. And you know, if you read your Bible in the book of Joshua, Joshua goes up against a place called Jericho. And you all read about Jericho. And they marched around that thing. God gave him instructions how to take Jericho. And also he goes on into the promised land. Joshua was one of those guys that when the children of Israel came out of Egypt the first time, they only came out of Egypt one time. But when they came out of Egypt, Moses sent out 12 spies. And the 12 spies were supposed to go into the land and look the land over and check it out and see what it was like. And there was two by twos. And Joshua hooked up with a guy named Caleb. Caleb was a courageous man. And Caleb, you find in your Bible, Caleb and Joshua outlived all that generation. They're the only ones that went into the promised land that outlived other generations. Why? Because they were good courage. They were courageous and they were strong. And Joshua even said, he said, man, my strength has not abated at 80 years old. Can you imagine an 80-year-old man whipping the snot out of a 20-year-old man? I mean, Joshua was 80 years old, could whoop a 20-year-old man. He could whoop, take you to the back shed by himself and take care of business, amen? I mean, an 80-year-old man, you say, 80-year-old man came up to you, boy, I'll whoop you, and you would laugh. But you wouldn't laugh when Joshua said it. When Joshua said, I'll whoop your butt, buddy. As a matter of fact, I'll take your head off. You would better start running. That's what you better start doing. You better start running away from Joshua. But Joshua was courageous, and so was Caleb. And those 12 spies, they went out, and they saw the giants and everything, and they went, oh, my, we can't beat these guys. Ain't no way. Even though God, the land is what God said it was going to be, but I don't know if we can beat these guys. But Joshua and Caleb kept saying, man, oh, man, look at this. God told us that this is ours. We're going to go take it. And he goes back to the camp, and the 10 spies, they started getting the people all stirred up saying, we can't do it. And the people started crying, and Joshua stood up and said, hey. And Caleb said, hey, we can do it. We can do it. What we need is some men that would be saying, yeah, we can serve God. Yeah, we can go on for God. Man, we ain't going to quit. We ain't going to back up. We got courage. We're going to stand for God. We're going to be strong for the Lord. Amen. We're going to be strong. In 2020, of the year of our Lord, we're going to be strong for God. We're going to be strong. Why? How do you get strong? By getting in this book. You want to get strong? Get in this book. Get stronger in the Word of God. Look what on down. He says, be thou strong, verse 7, and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law, which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand nor to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate thereupon, therein, day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong, be of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. And Joshua commanded the officers and the people, saying, pass through the host. And it goes on. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, I pray, God, give me power now. Stir me up, Lord. Stir me up, God, and open my, use my lips of clay for your glory and honor. Now, encourage the saints in Jesus' name. Amen. Joshua was a man's man. He was a man's man. And Joshua was an only time in your Bible, in the book of Joshua, you find success. And only one time mentioned. And he was a man's man. He wasn't no wimp. And Joshua, God chose Joshua to follow Moses in his footsteps. And Joshua goes in, takes the children of Israel in. And man, Joshua, man, only one time that he had a failure, but he wasn't in the battle. That was against Ai. And Joshua, man, he starts saying, man, I wish to God we stayed on the other side of Egypt. And God rebuked him for it. But I'll tell you what, you want success? The Bible tells you how to have it. You need to have success in your life, especially as a Christian. I find so many Christians don't have no success at all when it comes to their spiritual walk. They might have money. They might have houses. They might have cars. They might have all those things, but they have no success when it comes to being a Christian. I mean, they still haven't got victory over their mouth of cussing and using bad language. They still haven't got victory over drinking. They haven't got victory over that. I've run into Christians all the time. They haven't got no victory over that. And they usually, a lot of times, they let their wife run the spiritual part of the house. Now, it shouldn't be so. And it should be the man running the spiritual home of the house. And what happens is the woman ends up taking over, and she gets tired of doing that. She gets tired. She gets wore out trying to handle all the spiritual things, and he's always working against her, always trying to undermine everything that they're doing. And I'll tell you what, a woman gets tired of that mess. And Joshua, man, he stepped up to the plate. God's looking for some men. He's looking for some men to step up to the plate. We got women. I'll tell you what, we got some women here that fight, brother. They'll fight. They'll stand up and fight. And thank God for them. I thank God for the good women. And I think every woman in here ought to have a knife on them. Amen. They ought to have a gun. Amen. Praise the Lord. And maybe some of you men straighten up a little bit. But thank God for some good women. Thank God for some good men. But God's looking for some men. God's looking for some men that he can trust, and men that are going to be successful in this Christian life. And I run into people, all, like I said, all over the place. They have no success when it comes to Christianity. They have no success at all. They never won a soul to Christ. Never won one person to Jesus Christ. They attempt to open their mouth, but they're ashamed of themselves because they don't read their Bible. They don't fellowship with God. And they have never won a soul to Christ. Boy, that's a sad state for anybody that calls themselves a Christian that's never had any fruit in their life. I mean, you say, man, God help me with my mouth. God help me clean up my mouth. Okay, that's good. Praise the Lord, that's some fruit. I mean, God help me with my drinking. I don't drink no more. Praise the Lord, that's some fruit. I mean, but man, when was the last time you opened your mouth to tell somebody about Jesus Christ? When was the last time you took a Bible and showed somebody how to be saved? When was the last time you did something like that? You want success? You want spiritual success in your life? I mean, you want some victories in your life? I tell you what, as a Christian, I got saved. I didn't want to sit around and not know what's happening. I wanted to know what the Bible says. I wanted to see some other people get saved. I wanted to see my family saved. I went and witnessed to my family. My dad, thank God, my dad got saved. My mom got saved. My sister saved. My brother got saved. He's in jail. He's got saved. I mean, man, I want some success. I want some Christian success. I want some spiritual success. And Joshua says, hey, man, you want success in your life? Follow God. Follow his word. I mean, there's some men in history that we say, man, what a great man. I want to follow this man. They were successful. I got preachers in my life that, man, they were successful. And when the odds were against them, and man, we always give honor. Like, well, you know, you read about men that were in Vietnam, men that were in, and had all the odds against them, and they stood against the odds. You find in your Bible, you'll find David had some men that the odds were against David, the odds were against him. And David encouraged a whole army of men. He encouraged, by his being a young man, he encouraged all the men that stand in the middle of a war, middle of battle, and he stood. And David went after Goliath when nobody else would for 40 days and 40 nights. And when Goliath came out there, he's screaming and yelling and cussing and everything else. David said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should curse our God? I mean, David stood up, and he was only about 16, 17 years old, and he had courage. He had some strength to him. He said, how do you know that? Because the Bible tells you that when David was talking to Saul, Saul said, how can you go up against this man? He said, sir, he said, I was taking care of the sheep, and a bear came after sheep, had the sheep in the mouth, and a lion. He said, I fought them. I grabbed the lion by the beard. Now, you would think he was just telling a tale. After that day, Saul realized he wasn't just telling a tale. That boy experienced the power of God. He experienced strength. He experienced, I mean, the courageous spirit that God put upon him. You know, when a person's filled with the Holy Ghost, when they get filled with the Spirit, they don't back up nothing, man. They just keep on going for God. When you're walking in the Spirit, you don't back up from nothing. You just keep serving God. And man, David had a courageous spirit, and he went after that lion, he went after that bear, and then all of a sudden he went after this Goliath. He said, well, David didn't go out there and say, well, maybe I'll take this rock and I'll throw it at him. I'll just throw it at him. You know what David did? You know, Goliath was talking to him. He was saying, hey, boy, come on to me. Come on, boy, I'm going to feed you to the birds. I'm going to cut you to pieces. Now, what's amazing, that Goliath had some armor bearers in front of him. And these armor bearers were fighters, too. They were fighters. And now Goliath had somebody carrying a shield. I probably had to be two guys carrying a shield. I mean, he had a sword. And David goes out there and says, and he picks up five smooth stones, and he goes, and he didn't say, well, I'm going to throw it from here, that way I'll be safe. He went running after him, ran after him. You said, that kid's, I can see all the guys on Israel's side and all the Philistines up there going, ha, ha, look at that crazy kid. He thinks he's going to whip that giant. Come on. And all the Hebrews going, oh, my God, why did Saul let him do that? And all of a sudden, they seen that rock hit Saul on the head, and he went, fell flat on his head, flat on his face, and then David took his sword and cut it. Man, don't you know that there was, man, people were cheering and screaming, and on the Philistine side, they were going, oh, they were in shock. Why? He was courageous. He was successful. And David had a bunch of men. You read your Bible, 2 Chronicles, you read over there, David had some men that were called mighty men, and they followed David. And these guys, man, they were just having fun. They jump in a pit in the middle of a winter in the snow and fight a lion. He said, man, I tell you what, I'd be up there going, oh, my Lord, man, were you crazy? They jump down in a pit and take on a lion and stab that dude. Man, and then one of them took on 800 men with a spear. You talking about courageous. You talking about, man, David's military, David's army, that nobody wanted to mess with. I mean, they didn't want to mess with him. Joshua was that kind of man. When Joshua went into the land, God gave him instruction. He said, I'm going to go in. And Joshua went in, and they took the land. Man, you're talking about a fighting man. You're talking about somebody courageous. You're talking about somebody successful. I mean, success, man. It just doesn't happen over. It just doesn't happen when you don't prepare yourself. And you're preparing your heart. You're preparing your life. Man, you got to say, God, I want to be used by you. and things just don't happen, you know, all of a sudden lightning hits you and all of a sudden you turn into a spiritual giant. No, it's a preparation. It's a preparation in your life. Success. You want to be success. I'll tell you what. Take your Bible, look in John chapter 1. Look in John chapter 1. John chapter 1. I'll tell you how you have success. Daily confess your sins, man. Daily get your sins right with God. The Bible tells us, we're going to go back in a minute, we'll look at something else, but the Bible tells us, man, pray without ceasing. And if you want success in your life, you better confess your sin. You just can't, you can't go along and be dirty and come in the presence of God. You can't go along in your Christian life and try to be a spiritual person and be dirty and come in. The Bible says that we come boldly to the throne of grace that we might find grace and help in a time of need. But when you come in there, the first thing you better do, you better get clean before you go in. If you look at that tabernacle out there before, it's a type. And the way Christians, when they come to the throne of God, they come in, they're supposed to come in and get clean first. And then come up and say, Lord, forgive me, cleanse me. And then come in, have your prayer request. And what happens is you get into sin. You start messing with sin. And you don't want to confess anything. And then all of a sudden, you don't go into the throne room anymore. You don't go in there and talk to God anymore. So then what happens is you have no success in your Christian life. You might have money. You might have a house. You might have this, but there's no success when it comes to winning others. What the Bible says, what shall profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What's more valuable to God than anything else? Soul man. One soul. Your children. What about your children watching you? What about your children following you? They don't ever see you pray. When you get down to the table, and man, I told you I was in Chick-fil-A one night, and Jordan, I said, the people came in with a suit and tie on and everything. I said, oh, there's some Christians. They come probably going to church. And Jordan says, well, I'm going to go over it. We sat there a little bit, and we thought, well, we're going to wait till they pray. I want to go compliment them. And we watched them, and the food came. They never prayed. They just ate like a bunch of animals. So I said, they ain't saved. Jordan went over there and said, sir, can I give you something to read? He goes, oh, we're Christians. Sure could fool me. You don't pray over your food? You don't thank the Lord? You don't teach your children how to pray? We go at the house, if we eat at my house or anybody's house, Clinton's house or Ben's or Mike's, wherever we're at, and the kids will say, I'll say, who's going to pray? And all the kids say, can I pray? Can I pray? We don't say, no, you don't know how to pray. Go ahead. Pray. Amen. But I'm going to tell you something. If you don't know how to pray, man, I'll tell you what, I'd be concerned. You won't be success as a Christian? I'd be concerned. I'll tell you this. You won't be success. You better learn how to get clean. You learn how to get clean. My dad never hardly took a shower. And the latter years of his life, I had to give him a shower. My sister, you know, she knows this. My dad, you know, he went through the depression. And he didn't like to waste water. He wouldn't waste water. But I'm going to tell you something. You know what? We can get clean anytime and anywhere because the Bible says the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Amen. It's not getting saved again. It's just getting clean on a daily basis. Staying clean. It's like taking a shower. If you don't learn how to do that, you're not going to be a success. Look in 1 John 1:9 or back verse 8. It says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to what? Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar. When was the last time you confessed your sin and got clean? So man, all these thoughts that go through your head every day, all kinds of, you know, Job said, I'll not look upon a maid and sin. And what happens is, man, thoughts go through your head, and you got to stay clean, man. And when you come before God, I mean, you pray, God, help that person. Help them. Stay clean. It's a constant praying. You say, man, I can't constantly pray. You can. When the Bible says pray without ceasing, you can pray without ceasing. I mean, keep that open channel with you and God. Say, Lord, hang on, Lord. I want you always on the phone. I want you there all the time. I mean, the Bible says if we confess our sins, he's faithful just to forgive us our sins. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know what confession does? It keeps that fellowship restored. Confession keeps that fellowship. You know, it's not for salvation, it's for fellowship. So you don't wait till everything goes to pots before you start praying. You better be keeping clean, man. Doc used to always say, have grounds to pray on. He's talking about staying clean. Staying clean before the Lord. Be careful what you're looking at. Be careful what you're listening to. Stay clean. Humble yourself. Humility. Humility is to make a right estimation of growth of yourself. Humility. Make a right estimation. What happens is you think too highly of yourself. And make a right estimation and say, Lord, I'm nothing. And I'm less than nothing. And if it wasn't for you, I'd be nothing. God, cleanse me. Humble yourself. The Bible tells, it says, God resists the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. When's the last time you humbled yourself and said, Lord, I'm sorry for that. God, forgive me. Well, I lied to that person. I didn't tell them the truth. Forgive me. Go back and try to make it right. God, forgive me. You know how many times I've had conversations and I've talked to people and I walked away and the Holy Ghost said, you know that wasn't right. And I said, oh God, if I'm sorry, Lord. I mean, you want to be successful as a Christian? You want to have a love for God? You know, it bothers me when I hear people say, oh, I love God. And you hear them out there doing all kinds of stuff, drinking, carrying on. I love God and they're chasing every skirt that comes around. I love God. It bothers me. I don't want to be like that. You said, I don't want to be like that. I want to humble myself before God. As a Christian, you want to be successful? You better humble yourself. You better pray. You better seek God's face. Confess your sins and ask God to forgive you. I'll tell you something else. Don't forsake fellowship, God's people. Take your Bible, look at Hebrews. Y'all know these are simple verses. Simple. Hebrews chapter 10. Some people only show up for Christmas and Easter. When you've got a Bible-believing church that preaches the Bible, you ought to be there. Why? Because the Bible tells you don't forsake the assembly of ourselves together. You want success in your life? You want to teach your children what's most important in life? If you're teaching your children the most important thing is money, what you're doing is creating the little monsters. If you're teaching your children the most important is big houses and nice cars and all that, all you're doing is creating a monster. And once they don't have it, or if they have it and they lose it, they think there's no reason to live. You ought to thank God for whatever you have. If it's a shack or if it's a house, nice house. A shack. I don't get jealous over people having nice places. Praise the Lord. You see these nice homes and all that stuff. I ride by. There's some nice places around here. I think, thank God for it. I hope they're thanking the Lord for it. What happens is you get dissatisfied with yourself. You're trying to improve yourself. You think, I need to have a change. I need to improve myself. I'll tell you what, the way you improve yourself, you want to be improved and have success in your life, have a walk with God. Have a fellowship with the Lord. I mean, keep your sins confessed. Get in church when the doors open. Why? Faith cometh by what? Hearing. Hearing by the word of God. You get a guy up there and you say, well, I don't like somebody telling me what to do. Well, you're going to have somebody tell you what to do all your life. I heard Tim Lee say this. He said, I got tired of my father's rules and regulations, so I joined the Marine Corps. That's stupid. That's really stupid. Rules and regulations. Look in Hebrews chapter 10. Look at verse 25. Look, it says, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, so much the more as you see the day approaching. It's talking about getting together as a church and exhorting one another, encouraging one another. Take your Bible, look in Acts chapter 2. Look at Acts chapter 2. Look at here, Acts 2. Man, be in church. As soon as you're saved, get in church. That's what I did. I started going to church right after I got saved. But I know it was somebody encouraging me too. Somebody encouraged me to be in church. And he went after me, Brother John Garner. And a man started taking me to church. And it got to be a habit in my life. It was a habit. He said, well, you know, people have habits. This is a good habit. It's a good habit to be in church. Why? Keeps you from a lot of mess. And keeps you thinking right. People like to skip church and skip church and skip church and skip church. And before long, you hear about them down at the bar or down somewhere they shouldn't be and doing things they shouldn't do. If you would ask them, they never would have thought they were going that far. Went back to the world. Simon Peter, man, first time, he's out there cussing and swearing. He denied the Lord. Look at Acts chapter 2, verse 41. Acts 2:41. Look what the Bible says. And then they that gladly received the word were baptized. If you haven't been baptized since you've been saved, you need to get baptized. Why? It's a step of obedience. It's obedience to God. And that's what you need to do. For success for 2020 in the year of our Lord, it's obedience is better than sacrifice. Samuel told that to Saul, obedience is better than sacrifice. You can sacrifice all you want. You wouldn't give all the money you can to the church and not be a part of it. Obedience is better than sacrifice. God says, I'd rather for you be obedient to me. I'd rather for that. A pastor of the church would like for you to give their money. But I tell you what, God wants your obedience. He wants you to be here because you want to be here. He wants you to be here because you want to obey him. That's what he wants. Acts chapter 2, verse 41, and they were gladly received the word, were baptized. And the same day, they were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And they all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men, as every man had need. And they continually, daily, with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness, singleness of heart, praising God, having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the what? Church daily, such as should be saved. God was bringing people in. People were getting saved. I tell you what, nothing more exciting to see a church alive and seeing people move and seeing people get saved. What's really bad when you got a bunch of people that's saved and they're deadheads and they come in, they haven't talked to God, they haven't got clean, they haven't done anything for God, and they ain't planning on doing anything for God. They just come to hear preaching and a little bit and then a little dab of do you, and then out the door they go and go right back to the same old life. And what's exciting when you see a church is on fire and people getting saved and people moving and say, hey, pray for my friend, pray for this one, pray for that one, pray that God move on their lives. Man, that's exciting to see people get saved. When's the last time you witnessed somebody? When's the last time, man, you wanted to see somebody saved and you open your mouth? But what happens is your own flesh condemns you when you open your mouth and you say, well, I haven't been living right in front of them. I haven't said things right. You say, what do you do about that, preacher? What do you do about that? You apologize to them. Amen. Say, look, I'm a Christian. I haven't been living right. And I'm sorry. I'm trying to change. That's what I had to do. Right after I got saved, I said, I messed up a couple times. I said, I'm sorry. I went to my family and said, I'm sorry. I messed up. My sister's sitting here. She remembers times I came home drunk after I was saved. And my dad said to me, yeah, Christian, huh? Saved, huh? And he laughed at me. You know what the world does and your family do? You know what I had to do? I said, I'm sorry. I messed up. I mean, man, you want to be successful? The devil is never too busy to rock a Christian to sleep that's in a cradle. He's never too busy. You say, well, I'm just going to sit back and take it easy for a while. I tell you what, the devil's not too busy to sit around and just rock you to sleep. He'll point out all the failures of everybody in the church. He'll point out what's wrong with the church and everything else. I'm going to tell you something, man. I know more about what's wrong with the church than anybody. But that doesn't stop me from being. Why? You say, well, you're the preacher. You get to yell at everybody. No, I'm just saying I'm preaching the word of God. I care about people. And when you care about people, man, you overlook faults. You know, the Bible says the love covers the multitude of sin. When you love people, you want to see them grow. You want to see them do something for God. It'll cover that. You don't worry about that stuff. You want to pray for them. You want to pray God that they'll be successful. There's no crown wearers in heaven that were not cross bearers below. Spurgeon said that. There's no crown wearers in heaven that were not cross bearers below. I'm telling you, my job as a pastor is to try to encourage you to go on. Serve God. I mean, man, be successful as a Christian. If God blesses you, you know what God liked about Solomon? When Solomon took over as king, Solomon didn't pray, God, give me more women. He had a bunch. Oh, God, have mercy, he had a bunch. And he didn't pray, God, give me more riches. He didn't pray, God, give me my enemies. He didn't pray none of that. You know what he prayed? God, give me wisdom how to judge your people. And God blessed him. Solomon went overboard. And it cost him. You look at his life, it cost him. And it cost him with his son, and it cost him with his grandson. You want to be successful? Joshua said, you'll have good success. You'll have good success. Be strong. I mean, man, I want God's blessing on my life. I want to be strong. Set aside what God's given you to give back to the Lord. The Bible tells us, take your Bible, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 16. I mean, look at this. You say, preacher, do you tithe? Wouldn't I be a hypocrite to get up and tell you that I don't tithe, but you're supposed to? It'd be like me chief, you Indian. Me chief, you, me no sacrifice, you sacrifice. No, we're all in this together, man. There is no chief. I'm just ahead as example. I'm responsible. I'm going to have to give account to God. Look at here. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, it says, watch ye, verse 13, stand fast in the faith. Quit you like what? Amen. You know why it says quit you like men? You fight to the last man. Old Billy Sunday one time, they said, Billy Sunday, what are you going to do when you can't fight no more? He said, well, he said, I'll tell you what. He said, when I'm fistless and when I'm footless and when I'm teethless, he said, I'll still beat the devil and the world and the flesh. He said, and I'll gum it to death. Just keep on fighting. You know what happens to people? They quit fighting. They said, man, I'm just tired of it. I got preachers, friends of mine that I went to Bible school with. You know what? He said, what are they doing? They're doing nothing now. They're not even going to church. What a shame. Trained in the Word of God. Trained to be soldiers. Trained to serve God. They ain't doing nothing now. They're not leading anybody. They're not helping anybody. They're just living for themselves. That's a Christian. That's a sad state for a Christian. Just live for yourself. Man, God will bless you. Just put an effort to it. Look here. Look what it says. Watch ye. Stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men. Be strong. Let all things be done with charity. I beseech you, brethren. You know the household of Stephanus, that as it is the first fruits of Achaia, that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. Look at that thing. They addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. Man, they gave and they addicted themselves. Look at verse 2 of chapter 16. It says, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered him, that there be no gathering when I come. We got some people, man, they miss church here. They'll miss church for weeks on end. Weeks on end. But when they come to church, they always bring their tithe from the past weeks. I never told them they had to do that. I never tell anybody in this church how you had to give. I never tell you. I never check. You ask Miss Sheila right back there. I never go back. Unless you're going to be voted in as a deacon or a trustee, I'll check then. I'll ask her, do they tithe? Do they give? Why would you want to be a part of something, a deacon or a trustee, if you don't give to it? Yeah. I mean, the homosexuals and the queers and the lesbians, they have a thing called the Man-Boy Love Association over in Washington, D.C., and they have sex after 8 is too late, and they give money to that. They put their money, they put 30% of their income towards it. Why? To change laws, to lobby Congress, so they have access to your children. And Christians have a hard time giving to God's work for missionaries to go on the field and for the churches to go on to pay the bills. You're a crook. You're a thief. J.C. Penney, man, and now J.C. Penney would turn over in his grave. J.C. Penney would give 90% of his income of the corporation toward the work of the Lord. Now, it wasn't all in one church. He gave it to the work of the Lord. You know why God blessed J.C. Penney? Now J.C. Penney's is going downhill. Why? The old man's gone. You want God to bless you. But I tell you what God wants, he wants you. He wants you. You know what? I remember a preacher said, I was crying over a preacher one time that fell into sin. And our brother John said to me, I said, man, the guy was talented. He had everything. This guy, man, he had knowledge. He had understanding. He had all this stuff. Man, and you know, John said to me this, and I'll never forget what John said. He said, that shows you that God wants your heart, not your talent. If he gets your heart, he's got everything. He's got your wallet. He's got everything. If he gets your heart. The problem is people don't want God to get their heart. Yeah. Success. You want success in 2020, in the year of our Lord? I mean, man, give toward the Lord's work. Give toward the Lord's work. A little girl wanted to go to Sunday school and give her offering. And that little girl that stood up and gave her offering, it started the Wales Revival. That little girl. We got a little girl here in the church started giving, wanting to take up pennies to send to missionaries. Little children. Little children want to do something for God. What a blessing. The Bible tells you lay aside what God's blessed you with. Tell you something else. Surrender to the working of the Holy Spirit in your life. Take your Bible, look in Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Surrender to the working of the Holy Ghost. How many in this room can say, preacher, I'm saved? Would you slip up your hand? Amen. Surrender to the Holy Ghost. Surrender to him. Say, Lord, not my will, but thine be done. Well, the problem is a lot of times we think if we surrender to God that he might want something big from us. No, he says he'll not allow you to be tempted above that which you're able. But he'll not allow you to go through trials that you're not able to go through. He'll provide for you. He'll help you. Look in Galatians chapter 5. Look at verse 16. He says, but if you bite, verse 15, bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary one to the other. And it says, so that ye cannot do the things which you would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, talking about the Holy Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are these, which are these, adultery, fornication. It says, that's the works of the flesh. You see that day in and day out on TV. I mean, all kinds of stuff. Adultery, fornication. It says uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, reviling. I'm amazed over all the murders going on. People killing each other. You think they're walking in the Spirit? Nope. You know what you need to do? You need to pray over your family, pray over your children. God protect them. It says wrath, strife, sedition, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, reviling, such of which I have tell you now before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. I mean, brother, surrender to the Spirit of God and say, God, put a hedge about it. You know what the Bible says in the book of Job? The devil came to God and says, yeah, I can't get to him because you put a hedge about him. Thank God for the hedge. Because you and I are no match for the devil. And you go outside the hedge, look out, man. I pray God put a hedge about us. Put a hedge about these kids. Put a hedge about our wives and our husbands and all. Put a hedge about us. Want to be successful? I mean, man, walk in the Spirit. And my Bible says don't fulfill the lust thereof. You start thinking about that stuff, it'll take you over. That's the internet. They said any given day, there's over a billion men looking at pornography. A billion men. And who knows how many women? Probably more than that, looking at pornography. What happens is you start feeding that stuff. Rather than the Holy Ghost getting a hold of you, something else gets a hold of you. Why do you think all these women being raped? And people in prison for rape. And rapes being brought before the police. Prosecuted. My Lord, Christians. The Bible tells us that if you want to be successful, man, you need to surrender to the work of the Spirit of God in your life. You want to be successful? I want to be successful. I don't want to end up like some others that, man, just quit serving God and said, well, I've done my part. And that's all there is. You got to stir yourself up and keep going. We around this church, I've been here 33 years. And we, you know, we have revivals. And we get stirred up about it. And what happens is you say, well, I've done that before. I know how it's going on. And it doesn't excite you anymore. Spiritual things ought to excite you. Take your Bible looking for Thessalonians. I'm going to have to close. 1 Thessalonians 5. 1 Thessalonians 5. I mean, this is elementary. Really, this is elementary. But we need to be reminded in our year of our Lord 2020. We need to confess our sins, and we need to be filled with the Spirit. We need to give towards the Lord's work. Look at the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. This is a great chapter of the Bible, great chapter. And matter of fact, we'll start at verse 1. I'll just finish with this. He says, but of the times and season, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. Be a terrible thing, God, the Lord come back, and you'd be sitting in the bar room, on a bar room stool. He says, for yourself know perfectly, the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. And when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness. It's saying, you shouldn't be taken like this. You shouldn't be taken and overcome by it like this. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness. You know what Lot's problem was? Lot was, he was fellowshipping with the enemies of God. He was fellowshipping with them. He got to where he liked them. He liked to sit with them. He liked to joke with them. So when God finally showed up to rescue him, he didn't want to go. And he went and tried to save his family, and they laughed at him. You want to be successful? Spiritually speaking? His children laughed at him. Then he ends up in the cave and had incest with his daughters. Created two children that were enemies of God's people. That, I wouldn't say that was successful. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that they should overtake you as a thief. Ye are the children of light and the children of day. And we are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night. They that be drunken are drunken in the night. It says, but let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, for a helmet of the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together, edify one another, even as also you do. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you to esteem them very highly in love for the work's sake, that be at peace among yourselves. It says esteem them for the work's sake. What work? Faith Baptist Church is a work. It's a work in this area. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient towards all men, see that none render evil for evil on any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit. You want to be successful in our year of our Lord 2020? Quench not the Spirit. Despise not prophesying. Don't despise preaching. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray your whole spirit, soul, and body. You need to underline that verse right in your Bible. So when somebody says you're in three parts, spirit, soul, and body, be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that called you, who also will do it. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. As says, I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren, and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. You want to be successful? Right there, First Thessalonians chapter 5 tells you how to be successful. Pray without ceasing. Quench not the Spirit. In everything give thanks. I mean, man, rejoice evermore. We ought to be rejoicing that our names are written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Amen. Rejoicing. We ought to look forward to Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Do we always? No, we don't. We don't always look forward to it. But I'll tell you what, you want success? You want your children to follow your footsteps? I'll tell you what, the Bible tells you how to do it. It tells you how to have success in your life. Do you have success? Spiritual success. You might have other success, but that don't make you happy. If it did, you wouldn't have people jumping off buildings that have all the money, all the power, all the women, all they want, and they're not happy. I want spiritual success to please God, have the peace of God in my life, in our church, in each and every individual in our church. Amen. Let's go on to be successful in 2020, the year of our Lord, for his glory and honor. Amen. Father, we thank you again this morning.